Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, presented by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Now let's go to the Rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs Studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Welcome to another edition of the Power Cat Podcast, sponsored by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Fitz, Zach, and Gills all together again for another edition of the award-winning podcast. What award? I gave everyone a ribbon to make them feel good about things. Gills, how you doing, man? Your studio looks fantastic.
My luxurious Aggieville studio.
Yep.
Get it right, please.
I know. I came up with that. So, yes. I by the way, you did a great job filling in for me on the post-game talk in Kansas City and then the other night with the NIT. I appreciate it.
I wanted you to get some sleep. You're welcome.
I tried. I was exhausted, and I think I fell asleep about 1 a.m. The body gives out, but the brain keeps going.
We are kind of living in a active bombing zone.
Oh, my God. Fort Riley, thanks for protecting us, but could you do it at normal hours? I don't know what that was at 11:30. 11:30 p.m., I about jumped out of bed because I've never had my house rattle like that. And it was just one explosion. Usually when they're practicing artillery's
at. There was a couple last night that were.
Yeah, but they were spaced out. It's like, okay, let's go blow this up.
It's weird though. Is like, I felt like last night I heard it shakes the house, but then like, it sounded like I could hear the shockwave like going out.
I hope that was a planned explosion.
There was something, some weird stuff again. Just saying.
And if I know this crew, we're going to be dropping bombs on here. Huh?
Boom.
Huh? There we go. Hey, make sure you go check out the Fridge whenever you're in town. I hope you're coming to town this weekend. I think there's still some tickets available for the women's NCAA tournament site. Not many. I think they were down to about 1,000 or so. So you can still do that if you want to. They play Friday afternoon. And I'm doing a poll right now on Twitter, and I know how opposed many of you are to Friday sports.
Everybody loves working on Fridays so much.
I know that you're opposed to that, but they will be playing Friday at 3:30 at Bramlage. The Colorado game follows at 6. I don't know why the home team's in the first game. It's just the TV. That's the TV folks wanted it. They get it. They got it. And then, of course, they'll turn around and play on Sunday. The winners will. Hopefully that's K-State and Colorado. So we can have a really good matchup between a former Big 12 and future Big 12 foe. That's both Colorado to K-State. But anyhow, when you come to town, stop by the Fridge just to go check it out. Even if you're not really shopping for anything, if you've ever not been into the Fridge, if you haven't been there, stop in and say hi. Just go in there and look around. You'll be pleasantly surprised. I can't get myself centered on this. Here we go. My camera got moved and now I'm moving around. But Gilbert, thank you so much for filling in. We're sponsored by the Fridge, and let's go with your Wabash Station questions. Or is it the questions from Wabash Station?
That's what you meant to say.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. This is where it's going to be today. My mind isn't fully functioning. That's all I got to say. Zach talk, help me.
First question from T-Common 08. Do you think the basketball staff, quote, sits on their hands again this year with the portal, or do you think they will participate more in the first wave of players?
I didn't sit on their hands last year. They just got beat out. I mean, Max Asmus, they thought they had him, and then Texas stole him. Joe Toussaint committed, right? That's his name, Joe? And yep. Then he went to Texas Tech. They got Quez Glover. They went to the third choice, and he signed, but then he's been injured. I mean, they just wanted a veteran guard. So, I mean, three attempts, they finally got one, but the guy blows out his knee and can't play all season. I think this will, to the core of the question, I think this will be a more active year in the portal. Don't ask me who's leaving, and, you know, I don't know, but I can assure you this, and with 100% certainty, the coaches get it. I mean, just because you hear them say good things about their team after a loss like Tuesday night, don't misconstrue that to be they think they're fine. They know this season sucked. It sucked worse for them. As Jerome Tang said on the postgame radio, our coaches coached so much harder this season than they did the first season when they had all this success because things didn't go well. You know, he brought up the Tomlin situation, not by name last night, but that had an enormous impact, not only on the roster, but the spirit of the locker room. So they're going to reset. We're going to see some departures. Don't ask me who. Again, I don't know. But there's going to be departures. And some of them will be the players, and some of them will be, hey, have you seen this thing, the portal, with a nice shove in the back? They don't want this ever again. They don't want to talk about the NIT again. As he's pointed out, they followed their standard in every way except on the court, which for the fans is the most important. But I guarantee you, if they went and got a bunch of kids and they got back in the NCAA tournament and they weren't good citizens, they didn't go to class, they didn't conduct themselves well in interviews, you'd be upset by that. So they're trying to walk the razor's edge here and get the good kids that can help them play, I think they'll succeed.
You go back to last year, you know, tonight, guys, the last two games of the first four are being played. K-State's already done. They can get into this portal now and be aggressive and be assertive. Fitz, you're right. K-State missed out on a number of guys. Wagey from West Virginia, you can throw him in there. I don't know if he was 100% committed to Kansas State, but I know the Wildcats felt pretty good after they had both Toussaint and him on their visits. But anyways, that being said, K-State, I do feel like this question, there is a fair point that's raised. You're right, Fitz. Again, you're right. They missed out, but I think they were a little too patient early on. They kind of wanted to just wait it out and feel things out, wait for some of those guys to sort of just kind of appear to be there in the portal, yeah, rather than being aggressive and trying to go out and get guys early. I think that this staff is going to do that this year, and I think they have to, right? You have the advantage now that your season's over. That's the one good thing about not playing in the NCAA tournament. Your season's over. You've got a head start on all of those 60 some teams plus the teams in the NIT, right? You have the advantage here. Take advantage of it. So I get the question. Fitz, you're also right that they missed out on some guys, but you know, maybe you don't have to be in that situation, right? You can lock those guys in. You know, if someone's going to be down to, you know, KU and Texas, Baylor and Kansas State, well, those teams are still playing, right? If you can lock that guy down, bring him to Manhattan, get him here, those teams never even have a chance. So you got to be aggressive and get your guys that you want now.
I think there's kind of some parity here with the way the portal works, the way seasons end. I don't want to say it's like the NFL draft or the NBA draft, but everyone's that's done right now obviously was not a good team in 2023-24. All of the good teams are still playing basketball right now, and they are going to have a tougher time in the portal, but they should because they're good teams. This is, you know, the perfect opportunity for K-State losing. They can focus 100% on next season and recruiting players that are going to make them better for 2024-25. So, you know, last year it felt like they might've been sitting on their hands because they played two weekends. They played till the last, you know, the last day of the last weekend, last year. So, you know, they've got 2-week head start to get some guys. I think they they may not have been sitting on their hands last year as much as just they missed out on some guys, but I think they're going to swing a little earlier than instead of watching some pitches go by.
Yeah.
I think that there's, you know, they need to hit some home runs pretty early, and, you know, the best time is right now when the portal is going to be at its largest.
I do want to appreciate that they missed on some guys early. And so maybe your question is about that period when they got to the end and they kept saying, we're going to wait, we're going to wait. I mean, they were working early, maybe didn't jump on it as immediately as they have this year. But I think the patience came from a false sense that another Keontae Johnson was going to drop in their lap. It worked so well to wait last time. And I don't think he was the only guy. I think there was someone else that came in late. They ended up with Will McNair, which we can say was a good addition. But I do think they're going to be after it a little bit more early and maybe not limit their pool quite as much as they did. But they get it. They know what's going on. They appreciate it. And if you're a fan and you have resources and you want to see them improve, hit up Wildcat NIL. That's just the reality of the situation now. If you're really passionate about basketball, getting better players and getting back to what they were a year ago, and you have the resources, give some money to Wildcat NIL and earmark it for basketball recruiting. So, you know, Curry Sexton can take care of that for you, can help you out. But that's the name of the game now. Buying players is legal now. It's a sad reality, but the courts have made it that way. And so let's live in that reality and not be the guys that, as we have at Kansas State in the past, well, the rules should be this. So let's follow that. No, let's follow the rules that are being not only enforced, but they care about. Don't give the recruit candy. Give them a bag of cash. That's basically what the message is from the NCAA now, which is crazy.
Color outside of the lines a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't be so neat and tidy.
Don't do those photo shoots.
Yeah.
Just give them a bag of money.
The first step, though, is determining what you need from the portal. You know, is this player going to be back? Is that player going to be back? Fitz, you mentioned it. We're not going to touch on that in here, but I'll give a little plug to the subscribers on Wabash Station. I've been providing updates on who I think will be back, who's going to be gone. So if you're not subscribing to the website, get there. But that's the first step. You know, is this it? We're not going to get into specifics, but is this guy going to be back? Okay. If he is, then we don't have to go hit this position as hard in the portal, vice versa for guys who are going to be gone. So the first step in all this, before you even get to the portal, who's going to be back from next year's squad? And you got to make those decisions quick. Zach, were you good?
No, I'm saying, like, let's get to the next question so we can kind of talk about that more. From Go State Kate, do the three true freshmen this year stay at Kansas State, or do they hit the portal?
A little scare last night, Gills.
A little bit. I don't know if that's even worth entertaining on this podcast, but I think
it happened. I'm sure you weren't the only one who noticed.
Yeah. Buddy Rich had deleted all of his K-State pictures from social media, but I'm never one that wants to make social media the end-all be-all, right, for somebody's decisions. You know, who knows what goes behind that, and that's why sometimes you don't even want to entertain that stuff, but it is true. It did happen. But as of today, you know, we're not going to get into specifics, but, you know, I think all three freshmen, Buddy Rich, Day Day Ames, and RJ Jones, I've got confidence that those three guys will be back. You know, Day Day Ames is pretty dang obvious, guys, the way he played throughout the latter portions of the year, starting in every game for the last, 10, 12 games, and then he played really good in the NIT game. He played really good against Texas in that game against in Kansas City. And so Ames is easy. And then I think RJ Jones, that, you know, I've got zero indications to believe they're not, you know, him and his camp are fully 100% bought in on Kansas State. And then Buddy Rich, I mean, that's the one where I think things do get a little dicey, right? Because there's no way Buddy Rich was happy with the way he was handled this year. There's just no way. And that's not a knock on him. That's not a knock on his staff. But you can't be happy with your minutes that you got this year if you're McCaleb Rich. But I do think he'll be back. It sounds like he's maybe, I don't want to say, quote unquote, suck it up, but just kind of say, hey, this is part of it, right? You've got to give it your all on and off the court in the classroom and all that stuff. And I think he'll be back. And if you're the K-State staff, you 100% want him back. There, you know, Fitz, you mentioned Shevins and people out the door, right? McCaleb Rich is not going to be that guy. The potential, the long-term potential that he has in a purple jersey is through the roof. And so to answer the question, yeah, I think all three freshmen, I'd be surprised at this point in time if they if one of them isn't back, I think all three will be back.
Yeah, I'm not worried about those guys. I was a little bit with Rich last night, but look, there comes a point when young people have to realize they have accountability for the reasons things happen. And we're hearing now that there was some not taking care of non-basketball business that led to some of that. And honestly, when he came in, there were serious concerns about his conditioning. And do I think he should have played more? Here's the thing that I will fault this staff with. They kept clinging to the hope that the guys that should have been really good would get it together all the way through Kansas City. And I kept coming back to this. I tweeted this on Tuesday night. I'm watching veteran players blow defensive assignments that they know damn well what they're supposed to be doing and when. Why not just let the young guys play? And you might still have those blown assignments, but it's teachable. They can get better from it. If you're a fourth-year college basketball player and you're half-assing it out there, I don't want you in the program. I want to move on. I'd rather do what Oklahoma State did and got Mike Boynton fired, is go young, than watch some guys that should be really good not be good. To watch guys that are getting 30-plus minutes a game dribble the ball off their own damn knee. Give me a freshman making an ill-advised pass from which he can learn every day of the week. That's my one criticism of how this staff handled this roster. Would they have ended up with a better record? Probably not. But I think the homework done would have helped them down the road in the future. The second they realized this group ain't it, they should have shifted more to young guys.
Next question is from Kevin316. Now that the basketball season is over, how would you grade Jerome Tang's transfer portal class for the 2023-2024 season?
Gills?
It
was a hard one. I gave it to you.
Tyler Perry was asked to do a lot. So the easy answer is to say that they failed, right? But if Tyler Perry had more pieces around him, if Naquan Tomlin and Quez Glover were there, how do we view Tyler Perry, right? So they didn't get it done. They didn't make the NCAA tournament. That's the ultimate goal for every team. And I know K-State still went to the NIT, but that's the goal, is to go to the big dance. And so I think McNair was fine. You know, him and Colbert kind of switching out the starting role throughout the season. I think McNair was fine. A nice guy you plug in here for 1 year with some experience, some leadership. You know, that's fine. Going down the list, I think Arthur Kaluma, again, if he had a superstar on his team, if he had, you know, Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel aside him, same thing goes with Tyler Perry, they would have just been much better players without the weight on their shoulders. And so it's tough. I mean, this is really, it depends how you want to measure this or grade this, but K-State at the end of the day, those transfers played very significant minutes and were asked to be, you know, two of K-State's big three players were from the transfer portal. K-State didn't get to the NCAA tournament. So how would I grade it? I would grade it pretty poorly. And that's not a knock on them or whatever. That's maybe more a knock on the circumstances, maybe to an extent the staff for the way, you know, the minutes were handled and all that stuff. But K-State didn't get it done. And when two of your three stars are from the portal, and you don't get to where you want to be, you didn't do good, straight up.
You know what the saying is, C's get NITs. I think that's what it is.
I don't think that's it.
Well, I'm grading them a C,
okay,
because they made the NIT. Because you look at Tyler Perry, I think his variance was probably the largest of any of the transfer portal guys. Some nights he would be an A, some nights he would be an F. Some first halves he would be an F, and some second halves he would be an A. An A plus even at times. So I think with him, a lot of it was variance. I think, you know, you look at Kaluma, you look at McNair, they had their ups and downs. I think collectively it was okay. It wasn't a good enough class to get you the NCAA tournament, which I think you need to be in that B plus A minus range if you're going to do that.
Okay. I'm going to be harder than you guys. I think I'm going to give it a D, but here's why. They brought in some good players, but they were in a situation where they needed to bring in more good players. missing the point guard, the true point guard, earns them the D for me. Because now you took Tyler Perry, who's a great off guard, and it's kind of like having a really good left guard that you have to move to left tackle. So now you took an All-American left guard and made him decent left tackle. You know what I'm at? They just played him out of position, and I think it cascaded through his entire game. He didn't ever get comfortable shooting the ball. He had to shoot the ball from different circumstances. It just didn't work for him. I liked McNair, except at times, you know, if the basketball was your enemy, you want to give it to Will McNair because you'll never see it again. I mean, he did that last night. It's like two possessions. It's like, Will, you're dribbling and you're faking and dribbling and faking. What are you doing, man? Kick it out. That drove me crazy. But the guy I actually ended up this season having the most frustrations with was Arthur Kaluma. Here's why. That kid has NBA talent. He really does. Athletically, he can shoot the ball from outside. And yet he would go into these periods where he would absolutely disappear. Yeah, Art's on the floor. He's just not doing anything. He's doing the bare minimum on defense and rebounding and then shot faking and dribbling and doing duck around. That was his offensive game. And then he'd have to pass it out or make a mistake. I'm most disappointed in him because he should be declaring for the NBA. I don't know if he'll be back. I mean, he left Creighton, and I've got Creighton going to the Final Four. By the way, did I mention we're going to pick the bracket in the second half of this podcast? I think Creighton is better without him. How? I think he's got so much potential. That's why I'm disappointed in him.
Yeah. Can you make that noise again? Doodle Bob?
But we talked about this earlier. We don't want to get into specific players, but the way that Arthur Kaluma appeared to maybe not be invested, did you guys see that on the court
last night? Or Tuesday night? Absolutely. It was gross. He grabbed bench the last, 15 minutes of the game or 10 minutes of the game. And, the camera caught him and McNair, slap dicking around at the end of the bench, talking about stuff that was probably disgruntled. And I'm like, just leave him on the bench. Go lose this game with young guys. He played Tyler Perry, played hard, played horribly, shot the ball awful. He chose to play him over RJ. I wouldn't have. At some point, I would have just rolled with my three freshmen and Colbert and one of the other guys. I was so fed up last. I haven't been that fed up in a long time than these last two games with Iowa State, which was just simply awesome. But the guys didn't push back. And last night, when, as Tang said, they couldn't have put more emphasis on a certain player from Iowa in the scouting report, and yet he's roaming around the damn court wide open or with enough room to shoot. And that's all effort. That's all effort and paying attention. And if they blew that, you can't count on them. I'm sorry. If the stakes weren't good enough for them to play hard, then you don't want them. Why? Because they're the reason you're in that position. They didn't win enough games. Okay, enough ranting.
The coaching, K-State, Jerome Tang mentioned that one of his assistants said that was their Caitlin Clark. Sanford, what was his name? And they still couldn't do anything to stop him. I was like, well, if you're calling this person Caitlin Clark, you should be double teaming that person every time. But I got two things written down. Number one, we were critical here of Cam Carter and Kaluma, maybe their effort over not only this Iowa game, but over the last month. Guys, I've been as critical as anybody on Tyler Perry, but the one thing that I will just kind of wraps into that portal stuff. I don't think Tyler Perry, there was never a game where he didn't give his all, right? That's the one thing that I applaud Tyler Perry for.
But he tried.
Didn't play well. Sometimes the ball didn't go through the net. At times he was trying to do too much. Maybe kept the ball for a little too long in the shot clock and chucked up a prayer. But TP tried. I think he gave it his all. Ultimately, they came up short. But back to this initial question for this one, how do you grade this? Okay, are we grading it on how did Perry and McNair and these guys perform? Or how do we grade K-State staff's ability? How do we grade their portal class, their ability to get players to Manhattan? Because they didn't do a good job. And that goes back to the first question of the podcast. Mm-hmm. They missed out on a number of players from the portal, and that's why these grades are so low.
All right. Last question of the first half. Going to move away from basketball. Kind of a general athletics question from CardioCat78. In the NIL world we live in now, what impact has it made on the K-State football and basketball coaching and administrative staff?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen it now with football, adding a director of roster management, which is essentially what do we need from the portal in recruiting? That's Clint Brown's main emphasis. The basketball staff is all over the portal. I don't know why the portal's open right now. It just bugs the hell out of me. I get the December portal for football because you got to get in school and get ready for spring football. I get that. But why is it open? It should be open the Wednesday after the NCAA championship game, period. But I guess the way programs are operating, they won't wait. I mean, I saw a kid that committed to Alabama today. How you were in the portal for like 12 hours? I mean, that's so clear that something went on before the portal was open. So I don't know. I don't even know what the question was. I'm so frustrated.
What impact has NIL made on football and basketball coaching and the administration?
I think K-State's been a hair behind in the portal. But I think it's catching up. Like I said, Wildcat NIL is doing a lot of work. They're hustling to make money for K-State athletics to help keep players. They're still kind of focused on that, but also there's a layer now of, I think both Klieman and Tang were, we don't want to get into bidding wars. That's not what we're doing with the portal. But now I think they're much more open to the counter offer that, okay, well, the market says you're worth that. Okay. We maybe misevaluated this. Let's go here. So we'll see. I think the portal has great possibilities for Kansas State in baseball, in volleyball, in women's basketball, sports like that, where the NIL, can really benefit those programs because honestly, the costs are less. And I think K-State is committed to making, I think their fans are willing to make donations. Yeah, I want baseball players. Yeah, I want volleyball players. I mean, I'm going to be really honest. If I come into $50 million, or Zach, remind me to play lottery, tomorrow, and I get out of this so I can just be a guy watching games, I'm giving a bunch of NIL money to football, basketball, but volleyball. I would love to be the guy that could give $1 million of NIL money and tell that volleyball program, go be a national power.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to is, football and basketball, I think, are going to be fine. You're always going to find that support to be good. But we've seen it with baseball this year. K-State is a bona fide force in the Big 12 Conference. They have good players, a couple potential first-round picks this year in the MLB draft. So, seeing that be good, seeing women's basketball be good this year, volleyball had a great run. They didn't make the NCAA tournament, but they won some games. I mean, they swept Texas. I mean, that's virtually impossible to do. So if K-State can improve as an athletics entity, it's not just the football and basketball, but when you can compete in a couple other sports such as baseball or volleyball or women's basketball, I think that's really where the NIL is going to help because you probably won't have to pay as much versus men's basketball and football, but there's value there. K-State fans want their teams to be good and they want to care. And it's hard to care when you aren't winning games, when you don't have good players, and when you can recognize, hey, we can take advantage of filling this gap in volleyball or baseball. And maybe K-State can finally win a national championship in something. I think that's what K-State fans want and will put their efforts and their dollars to.
Fitz, you when you started your website, you didn't know what a podcast was, did you?
No.
You had to adjust, and the way that we do things now is insanely different than the way you did things 15, 20 years ago. And so you mentioned the bidding war stuff. I think 365 days ago from now, I was probably on here. You guys probably agreed with me in saying that these coaches with Tang and Kleiman, they don't want to get into bidding wars for players. But I mean, Fitz, you mentioned it, you know, okay, this is your NIL worth, you know, maybe we evaluated it wrong. Here's what we're going to give you. Okay. This team's got something else. We can one up that. You don't want to get, you still don't want to get into bidding wars, but the way that this NIL stuff is just changing year by year and how, and what you can get away with, so to speak, you've got to roll with the times and adjust and make changes. And so, you know, again, Casey doesn't have to get into bidding wars with these players, but Ace Smith, right? He went to Texas for the money, right? Probably the reason that Kansas State, you know, ultimately lost out on him. So you've got to, you know, if you're Jerome Tang, I'm sure that you don't want to sacrifice the culture of your locker room for a guy that's just there for money, right? At the same time, though, Fitz, you mentioned it. You know, you've got to start to make some changes here with the way you do things if you want to get different results in the portal.
Let's talk about what Nick Saban said real quick before we go to break. He talked about when they'd have recruits over and his wife would help host. And even she noticed the demeanor of the parents change from asking questions about the university and who's going to be taking care of my son and to being solely focused on how much money you're going to give us. And it struck me that that probably is a function of recruiting five stars, because programs are in bidding wars for you. They know how important you are. But when you're a kid coming out and maybe you're a difference maker, but not a superstar, you're not an NBA guy, let's say that, in basketball, and that's your sole focus, get the hell out. I don't want anything to do with you. You're not invested in the team or the school. You're invested in yourself, and it's all about yourself. You're going to be a problem in the locker room. I'm getting paid this money, and I'm not getting the ball enough, not getting my shots enough. The offense isn't around me enough. It can be a real issue. So I'm all with them not getting into bidding wars from kids that just want more and more money. But they also need to be the reality of, okay, Max Asmus is apparently worth a little bit more. So let's, if we really need him, and folks, they really needed him, let's go get him. And it just didn't work out. And I think they've learned. They've adjusted, as Gil said.
Yeah.
That's it for the first half of this PowerCap podcast. It was long. It always is. But we're going to do the bracket. It's tournament time. I know your Wildcats aren't in it, but we're going to speed pick. All of us have votes. Every game in the bracket.
We do have one question, though.
Oh, we got a question, too.
It's kind of an important one.
Maybe we should have done the bracket separately, but we're going to do it all. Oh, well. You're getting one massive podcast. Live with it, people. Live with it. We'll be back after this break.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Please visit The Fridge Wholesale Liquor, located at the corner of Claflin and Westport Road in Manhattan, Kansas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the show. Let's return to the Cats and Dogs studio.
Welcome back to the Power Cat Podcast. Fitz, Gills, and Zach. And we go forward from here. We're sponsored by The Fridge Wholesale Liquor. If you had a liquor store bracket, it'd be your national champion. But we got a question before we do the actual bracket. So the bracket's not sponsored by The Fridge. That's sponsored by Greedy People at Television Networks, which is our employer. Never mind.
The rights holder?
Never mind. Sorry, Adam. Didn't mean to bring that up.
First question, the only question in the second half, real quick though, from K-Ned. The Arizona game announcement seemed to lack a media outlet. Is Fox or is it going to be on Fox, or will K-State be forced to lose a good weather and recruiting visit Saturday for Fox Sports 1?
Okay, let's clarify a few things. There is no media outlet yet because both ESPN and Fox want it. Fox's Friday night play is to be put on Fox, not FS1. They want Friday to turn into a big deal for them. Why? Because it's unproven space. ESPN doesn't have a foothold. They've been scrapping with ESPN for that noon Eastern slot, and they're winning now. So now they're going to turn their attention to Friday and try to take that. But also there's confusion that K-State had a vote in this. They did not, folks. This was all from the conference. The conference has a contract with obligations to fulfill. The networks aren't giving you millions and millions of dollars to say no. They want a Friday night game. Okay. They want us to all dance at midfield. Okay, we got that too. I mean, want to throw things at Ryan Gilbert? Well, I'd do that for free, but I'll do that if the networks say so. But it's the network that are making these decisions. Whether it's ESPN or Fox, they want this game there.
Now, we talked about this after the press conference today, Fitz, but I mentioned WWE SmackDown currently airs on Fox in that time slot on Friday nights. They are going to switch networks. They're going from Fox to USA Network, right. But that doesn't start until October.
Interesting.
So there's a month there where
this K-State game would be FS1.
This K-State game, if it's on Fox.
Screw that.
Yeah, I don't know. And ESPN very well could be a player here. I mean, ESPN aired the Oklahoma State game last year. I would not be surprised if ESPN said, we want the first unofficial new Big 12 game on our network.
Also, if you're ESPN, let's try to build up a little insulation here around what we're programming on Friday nights. This is going to force ESPN to stop airing throwaway games.
Yeah.
On Friday, and to air good games. And to say, hey, we're going to have a good game every, basically steal what Fox is attempting to do before they can do it.
I mean, or go head to head with two good games. I mean, there's no reason there shouldn't be two good games on a Friday night.
It's good for beer drinking.
It's good for college football fans, whether you are a K-State fan, a Big 12 fan, or not. If you like watching college football and good quality games on Friday nights is good for the sport.
Yeah. I want to be clear. I'm not dismissing the thoughts of all of you who are upset that there's, you know, distraction from Friday night football and things like that. But this is where we're going. As a conference, the Big 12 has to find any angle it can get to create an advantage in the ratings. And I'm going to do a long video on exactly why this is so important, because I don't think people are quite understanding that this isn't just about, well, this game would be on maybe ESPNU on Saturday, and the ratings wouldn't be that much different. That's not what's at stake here, and I'll get into that later.
See, and I think from the high school angle, though, if you are a KC Metro or a Topeka team that plays two or three games a year on a Thursday night, I really should go through and count how many different teams played a Thursday night game, whether it was home or away. There were plenty of games in the state of Kansas last year that were played on Thursdays or Saturdays. I mean, if you're sharing a stadium, which is the reality in Olathe or Blue Valley or Shawnee Mission, you know, you're playing on Thursday nights. I mean, that's the reality of it when you share stadiums. So, you know, if people are upset that, oh, you're ruining Friday night football, if you're sharing stadiums, it's already ruined for you. You're already playing Thursday night games. I don't see, especially if you're Manhattan High. I saw in the reply to K-State's tweet that they were upset about. Lawrence Free State will be playing Friday night, that night in town. I mean,
move it to Saturday.
Move it to Saturday.
Quit bitching. You have control over this. You control what you can control. Yeah. Move the damn game.
Move it to Thursday. Move it to Saturday. I don't understand. They took your time slot. Great. Take the other time slot. Just swap. It's not a big deal, in my opinion. But back to the point on Fox and SmackDown and FS1. Yeah, if I will be upset about that move from Saturday to Friday if it is on FS1 because SmackDown is still parked on Fox during that time slot.
What if? Now, hold on. This is an idea. A crossover event in which SmackDown's happening at middle of field.
Look, the WWE and the Big 12 did go into business last year, just saying.
And the football game's going on. Remember in the olden days when the goalposts were like in the end zone? Like the post was right there and you had to play around it? You're going to have to play around the wrestling ring. And a wrestler might fly into the play too. He might get thrown out. Well, maybe they'll have a battle royale and just toss a guy right into the middle of your sweep option. Oh, that adds a layer of excitement.
PA announcer Mitch Fortner would love that.
Oh my God, Mitch is perfect for this.
He would love it.
Oh, he could call both. He'd kick ass at it.
Call both games.
Call the SmackDown and the football game all in one.
Yeah.
Oh, if anyone's built for it, it's Mitch.
All right, that's it. Are we ready for bracket time?
Let's do the bracket.
Get it.
Quick, we can do the bracket.
Okay. Starting in the East. And by the way, if you are on Wabash Station, you can join our bracket challenge by clicking the link on the thread. You got to have your picks in by 11 o'clock on Thursday morning. So make sure you.
I wouldn't do it if I were you, because Ryan Gilbert put his picks in and you're not going to beat Ryan Gilbert. So
he doesn't want any competition is what he said. That is reading between the lines.
What his mouth is saying is Ryan Gilbert's so good, you don't want to mess with him. What his head is saying, I fear competition.
He's scared. Scared.
Let's go.
All right. In the East, UConn or Stetson, 116.
I need a cowboy hat.
The cowboy hat.
But I'm going to go with the dog.
Okay.
Huskies.
8-9, FAU, Northwestern.
FAU.
Hills?
Yeah. We're a little biased here, right?
Yeah.
We've never FAU. That team last year, but they've got the DNA and the pedigree to go far.
Do we want to go all first round before we do the second round? Or do we want to do each region?
No. Let's do all first round.
Okay.
By the way, that's Florida Atlantic, not Felix Sandy, DK Uzomah.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little confusing.
It'd be different if Felix is playing against, I'm not picking him.
San Diego State is the 5, UAB is the 12. Who do you have?
Hills?
I'll go San Diego State.
Yeah, I'm going.
That's fine. Auburn, Yale, 4-13.
I'm going to go Auburn. Although, what if a math contest breaks out? I think I use that joke every year.
Still Auburn.
Okay. Really? I guess that mine doesn't matter. I'd still go Yale.
Maybe Yale will be doing a math and Auburn will be boiling peanuts.
Maybe.
Southern math.
BYU.
Hold on. Who are you picking?
Auburn.
Okay. So
Auburn. Auburn. Yeah. BYU Duquesne. I'm going BYU.
You guys know who I'm picking?
The Pittsburgh boys?
Yes. But I do think BYU is a tremendous team. They fight. They play hard. They're physical. I just don't know if that's the type of team that's going to get hot and go on a deep run in March. So I think they're.
We just need them to make the second round. We don't need them to make a deep run.
Nah. Duquesne's hot, guys. They haven't lost a game in a long time. It's been like a month or so. Give me the Yinzers.
Wow.
I don't think that's their mascot. I don't think that's their mascot.
I'm going to look right in the camera and be very clear. I'm picking BYU because they know how to go on a mission.
Touche.
I did it.
Next game is Illinois Moorhead State, 3-14.
What is the new rule about upsets?
They got to be, and it's got to be a 15 or 16 seed.
Oh, so the sexual references don't count at this kind of stage.
According to the Reddit thread,
give the background of that, of the upsets.
All of the 15 and 16 seeds have been somewhat dirty.
Phallic
related. Oral Roberts, mm-hmm. St. Peter's. Mm. Fairleigh Dickinson.
And I think
I think St. Peter's is a 15 seed again. Just saying.
Houston plays Longwood.
That's true.
Okay, but no, I'm going to go with whatever.
We're taking the Fighting Brad Underwoods.
Yes.
Okay. Washington State and Drake. This is the 7-10 game. I would like to go Drake because we've taken chalk.
I know. Well, I like Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Drake.
Also in the, this is the final game in the East, is Iowa State, South Dakota State, 215.
This is going to be a tougher game for Iowa State than they expect. We saw the South Dakota State team and they're pretty good.
Sure.
I'm curious to see how Iowa State does. First of all, they got screwed and they're in a horrible bracket. They're in an absolutely loaded bracket.
Let's put the Big East, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 champions all in one bracket. Crazy.
But I will take Iowa State.
Okay, we're moving to the West. We have North Carolina and Wagner in the 116 game. Are we being bold?
We can avoid going chalk by
we could
by picking the spray painters.
Wagner?
Is that a spray painter? But no, I'm going to go Carolina.
Mississippi State and Michigan State in the MSU Bowl on the 8-9 line.
What you got there, Gills? Let's get your money. What do you got? You got to go to your bookie because I know you use one. Some guy named Slick Tony.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I like MSU in this game.
That's good. That's really helpful.
I'm going Sparty.
You going Sparty? What do you got? Sparty or
Sparty's the 9. So
really, I was going to take Mississippi State just because
you don't take 8 seeds in the NCAA tournament, though, right?
No, mm-hmm. You're supposed to take the 9 seeds, but only for one round.
Yeah, yeah. So Michigan State. What do you got, Gills? We're split.
Michigan State.
Okay.
Jerk.
St. Mary's Grand Canyon on the 5-12 game. It's kind of interesting. Maybe an upset. Maybe not. God. I think I like St. Mary's.
Who's at Grand Canyon now?
Where are they?
Oh, wasn't it like Logan Landers went there and then he's not playing anymore?
He was there. He wasn't there this year. He was there previous year. Now he's pursuing career in the MLB.
What?
Yep. I don't know.
Okay.
But I'll go with Grand Canyon though for what it's worth.
You are.
Oh, yeah. Fitz, you are the tiebreaker.
Look. Gonzaga didn't win that conference for reasons because St. Mary's is pretty good. I'm going to go with them.
Alabama Charleston on the 4-13 line.
I want to take Charleston because it's one of my favorite cities in America, but I'm going to go with Alabama because
roll damn.
Yeah, they're real good. Hot damn, man. We got a basketball team down here that can kick your ass. Go ahead, Gils.
I'll go Bama. I love Tuscaloosa. I've never been there.
You just like saying it. Yeah. Say it again. Sure.
Tuscaloosa. No. Next game is Clemson, New Mexico. Clemson's the 6th seed. New Mexico's the 11th seed. I believe New Mexico is favored.
I'm going to take New Mexico because they play in a place called the Pit, and I got two.
What is Fitz on today, Zach? Did you give him something before we started?
No.
This is my third 5-hour of the day.
Jeez, we're not even 15 hours in.
It's 4:30 right now or 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. Yeah. I can't. I don't know what time it is in my house because I haven't changed all the clocks. I get very confused.
Well, you've made it this far. You might as well just wait till daylight savings is done.
Yeah, just keep doing caffeine.
The next one is Baylor Colgate 3:14.
So are we doing Mexico? Did you agree with that, Zach?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I already clicked it.
You guys are dumb.
You want Clemson?
I do. Yep. Yep.
Why?
Because he's a loser.
Give us a breakdown of why you want Clemson. Give us like 2 minutes.
They're not going to the Big 12.
It's not about Clemson. It's more about I don't believe in New Mexico. I don't know if that's a team that should have been in the field.
Wow.
More deserving than Virginia, though.
Sikkim. Is that what we're doing? We went Sikkim?
Oh, yeah,
Sikkim. Okay. Dayton, Nevada on the 7-10. I believe Nevada's the 10 is also favored, at least from my memory. If it's not, it's very close. It's within a couple points.
Gil, since you got outvoted last time, just pick this one.
Dayton.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Oh, okay. I'm going Nevada in my other bracket, so
okay.
I'll beat this.
You do you.
Arizona and Long Beach State. Long Beach State's coach is fired. He is doing this for free.
Dan Munson, right? It started the Gonzaga dynasty, gets fired, but but he can coach out the season and they win their tournament. But I'm going Arizona.
Big time. Me too.
Go Cats. We move to the South on the right side of the bracket. We have Houston and Longwood.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Fitz, keep your thoughts to yourself here.
Gels, you always pick the Longwood. Longwood. I'm going to go Houston.
Me too.
Okay. It's Cougars. Devoured Longwood.
We have the Trev Alberts Bowl in the 8-9 game between Nebraska and Texas A&M. Both NCAA committees are sickos because they give us this in the men's and women's bracket.
Oh, I didn't see it in the women's.
Yeah.
Oh,
freak. Sickos.
A&M's really good this year, aren't they?
No.
Who's the seeds?
Nebraska's the 8. Texas A&M's the 9. Nebraska has never won an NCAA tournament game.
It ends this year.
It ends this year.
Fitz's favorite basketball player that he's seen all year, Tominaga, is going to go off.
Oh, my God.
Pat McAfee's show loves him, too. They went off the other day.
Hey, why did that reporter just walk on the court and slap a player? It wasn't just any player. That guy bugs the hell out of me. He needed to be slapped.
Who? What?
The point guard.
The reporter. Oh, I thought you were talking about an actual reporter.
Bugs me. The way he just like shoots up and then just runs. He just runs off and he misses most of the time. I just
walked away. Wisconsin James Madison is the 5-12 game in the South region.
James Madison did some great work for this country.
Yeah.
And I like cheese.
Ooh. I like the 12 seed here.
Yeah, James Big Ten's getting exposed here.
Yep.
We got Duke versus the Vermont Catamounts in the 4-13 game.
Can I pick against Duke just for Riley Gates?
Ooh.
To make him mad. Mm.
He's going to watch or listen. I'm fine with this. We can pick Vermont.
Hey, let's do it.
Okay.
Did you both do it?
We did.
Riley, I would have gone with Duke, but you know how the rules are. You've done this show before. It's all about the votes, man. I apologize.
Next one is Texas Tech NC State on the 6-11. NC State, the ACC tournament champions.
That's another good story. Yeah. Probably stole Oklahoma's bid.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Texas Tech.
I like Texas Tech as well.
Guys, come on. NC State's hot. This is where you need to – they're hot at the right time. Give me NC State. But my vote doesn't matter.
I think the Big 12 goes undefeated on day one. Hot take.
Well, it sure helped that K-State and UCF didn't make the field.
Sure does. Next game is Kentucky and Oakland. This Oakland is not the one in California. This is the one in Detroit.
Who are they playing?
Kentucky.
Is that Kentucky? Are they good? Do they have any basketball history?
They might have won a couple national championships here or there.
I remember K-State beating them in a game.
A good friend Ryan Black will be at this game. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Kentucky.
I'm going to go Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Gills, any input?
Oh, we got a thumbs up for you listeners out there. It was a thumbs up.
Well, I can barely see him. You have to let me know when he's
two thumbs up. Is that better?
Yeah, that is really fortunate.
I'll go pen up next time.
Yeah.
My zebras.
Okay, whatever.
The next game is Florida and the winner of Boise State and Colorado on Wednesday night.
Florida and the winner of Boise. Boise State and
Colorado. Boise State and Colorado.
So confusing. I'll take them.
Yes. I saw a breakdown and it was like, it doesn't matter who wins between Boise State and Colorado. Take one of them against Florida because both of them have better pace or stats. Yeah. There's something
I've
there.
I've watched some Florida and I'm like,
yeah.
You convinced me, Zach.
Yep. Okay. Well, we were unanimous then. Congrats, Gills. last one is Marquette and Western Kentucky in the 2-15 game. The Hilltoppers is not dirty. Or is it?
I've turned from a Shaka Smart fan to not really liking Shaka. His whole stepping on the court and guarding people bugs me.
Because he has hair now? Is that why you don't like Shaka Smart?
I'm going to take Marquette. They're just too good.
Okay.
Gilt, did you just yawn? Did you just yawn on our podcast?
No.
All right.
You're seeing things, Fitz. You need more 5-hour energy.
to the Midwest region. We have Purdue versus the winner of Montana State and Grambling. Is that Grambling? It doesn't list the whole thing. So,
Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue.
They did lose to Fairleigh Dickinson last year in the first round as an
award. Oh, God. Here you go, Fitz.
You know, you never know.
Not going to say something about that name?
No. Why would I?
Look at you being mature.
I'm an adult.
Okay. We got Utah State Aggies versus the TCU Horned Frogs.
What?
Whoa. Horned Frogs in the 8-9 game.
Who's the nine?
TCU.
Yeah, I'm taking TCU.
Yeah.
Big 12. I just said Big 12 all the way. So
I think TCU's going to be a problem in that second round.
Okay. Next question. Next game is Gonzaga and McNeese State in the 5-12 game. I'm going Zags.
Me too.
Yep.
Next one. Our favorite game in the first round is the Kansas Jayhawks and the Samford. I don't know what their logo is, but it looks like a dog. The 4-13 game.
Bulldogs, right?
Are they the Bulldogs?
No,
pretty sure.
It looks like a Bulldog. That's
the former home of Quez Glover.
Ooh. Interesting.
And they made the tournament. Guys, in all seriousness, McCullough's out. Dickinson will be hurt, but might play. In a weird way, I think they might be better off in this game without him. I think Sanford likes to get up and down. I'm still picking KU. I think this could be an upset, but this isn't a great KU team, but Bill Self is a very good coach, and I think they're going to get through this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is South Carolina and Oregon on the 6-11 game. I believe Oregon is also favored in this one, or if not, yeah, it is quite close.
South Carolina had an incredible season, but I'm going to go with Oregon.
I agree with you, Fitz. He's
fighting Dana Altman's.
Taking the
Ducks. You guys don't want to do NC State after they win their conference tournament, but we'll do Oregon. I mean, where's the logic here, guys? Come on.
Because SEC bad, Pac-12 good.
Pac-12 good. That's just wow.
Pac-12 good.
Wow.
Here, we picked Arizona to win. I don't think we picked against anybody else. How many teams do they have? Who do we pick against?
Washington State.
Though Washington State bad. Okay. Colorado good. Next one is Creighton and Akron on the 3-14 line.
I'm picking Creighton.
Okay. Gills?
Got nothing? Got any, zip?
You want fun? Okay, we're going Creighton. Texas and Colorado State on the 7-10.
Crack myself up. What was that?
Texas, Colorado State.
I'm taking Colorado State.
Well, I think
Colorado State's legit. I think there was total BS that they were in a play-in game. He's got the horns up.
Gills, you got to talk.
You got
to
make them.
You have to talk.
I can't hear anything.
You can't hear Gills. Us? You need to make a pick. Texas or Colorado State?
Can't hear anything.
Use your words.
Texas or Colorado State?
Texas. Is that one of the teams?
That is one of the teams that I just said
Did
2 seconds
cut out
ago.
For you? Or are you just ignoring us?
Can you guys see me clearly? Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, we can see you and hear you clearly.
Okay, I think you're back now. Goodness. I'm getting new Jeez. Internet. I got an Ethernet cord plugged in for you listeners, and it's still not enough.
Wow.
Sorry. I apologize.
Final first round game is Tennessee and St. Peter's, 2-15. This is a final four pick for me in my own bracket.
Yeah, St. Peter's in the final four.
It was a tough pick, but I went with it.
I'm not impressed by Tennessee, but I'll take them.
Okay. That is the first round settled. We move.
Maybe. We're going to the second round?
We're going to the second round
okay,
now.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
This is going long. Here's a break. You know who's the sponsor, so love them.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Please visit the Fridge Wholesale Liquor, located at the corner of Claflin and Westport Road in Manhattan, Kansas.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the show. Let's return to the Cats and Dogs studio.
Okay, so there's a possibility that this could end up two podcasts and I'll have to record new opens because this guy, I knew it was going to go long. But I, every time I see our opens, I haven't changed it to the new logo and it bugs the hell out of me.
Oh, no.
And don't forget to do that.
I'd keep forgetting to do it.
Well, don't forget.
On we go with our picks of the bracket. We're sponsored by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. If you fill out a bracket, you probably need some liquor because you're going to be unhappy. Go to the fridge.
Back to the East, we have UConn and FAU in the second round.
Ooh, UConn.
UConn.
This was one of my bold. No, this was one of my bold upsets. And I know FAU struggled and all that this year, but again, the DNA there, give me FAU.
Okay. So you think the magic continues for a second year?
Yeah, it's like Butler did that 10, 15 years ago, right? They did it back-to-back years when they went to the championship game and then they made another deep run.
Don't bring it up.
Well, I think UConn goes back-to-back here. Yeah. Give me the Huskies. I keep looking at the bracket as if it's a question for me to read from one of our users. Auburn and San Diego State is the 4-5. I like how this is three of the four Final Four teams from last year.
Oh, that is, isn't it?
Kind of gross. I'm going Auburn.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, what the hell?
BYU, Illinois.
Illinois. If you guys keep bigging BYU, I'm going against them every time. Just so you're
no, I was here. I'm going Illinois.
Okay.
Okay. So it's Illinois. Drake and Iowa State, a great Corn State showdown in almost Iowa.
Is it this game's in Omaha, isn't it?
Just across the river from the great state of Poncheros. That's what the state's food. That's the state food of Iowa.
Now that they're losing their state convenience stores.
Why did Drake get rewarded with playing so close as a 7 or 10? Who's
I agree. I didn't think they were going to do that. And they're the 10, so the 7's had a huge disadvantage.
Well, part of it is there were so many upsets for at-large bids that this is the first year, I think, ever that the 7-10, the 10 line is a play-in game. That's insane.
I know.
That's insane. It used to
be 12 and 11 games.
Yeah. So
now it's all 10. And the other thing that happened to them is BYU was supposed to be a 4 seed, but both of the 4 seed brackets play on Sunday, the regionals. So they're like, we got to move them to the 5 line just in case. So,
well, the 5 line is playing with the 4s. So they'd have to move them off the 5 to the 6 is what you're saying. 4 and 5 are equal because they'd play on the Sunday if they won. Yeah.
I don't even know what I saw. I'm just making shit up.
Maybe. So we're going to Iowa State or Drake?
Cyclones.
Okay.
The Twisters.
We've gone Iowa State. Move to the West. North Carolina and Michigan State. A blue blood made for TV matchup.
I take the blue team.
North Carolina. I got North Carolina. Okay. Yeah. Alabama or St. Mary's?
I'll go St. Mary's.
Gills?
Sure. Okay. Not so much for my love for St. Mary's, but for my
hatred of elephants.
Yeah, especially the crimson ones. Yeah. Crimson elephants scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Every time I see one.
I'm with you there on St. Mary's, though. Baylor and New Mexico.
Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor.
Okay.
Baylor's been inconsistent enough. I can see him grabbing an upset, but not this one.
Arizona and Dayton.
Flyers and Wildcats. I'm going to stick with Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay.
On to the South. We have Houston and Nebraska.
I would have said Houston's my national champion until I saw what Iowa State did to them. And Nebraska can get up and down and score. This is an interesting game to me. But I'll still go Houston. I think they're really good. I don't know if Nebraska learned anything from what Iowa State did, but that's a fairly comparable team. I think the way, at least when I saw Nebraska play in Bramlage Coliseum, I think that compares to Iowa State, don't you, Gills? It kind of athletic, get up and down, defend you.
Fred Hoiberg, right? So, yeah, I agree. But I think Houston, not that they weren't fully trying or bought in for that game in Kansas City, but you're gassed. You're playing consecutive days. I'm not putting as much stock. Iowa State looked great, but I'm still going Houston. I think Cougars make a deep run.
Next one is James Madison and Vermont. It is a 12-13 game.
We did that, didn't we?
We did this.
I like James Madison.
Go James Madison. Sure. Great guy.
I don't think Vermont has a
tremendous guy.
Get it done.
Deserve to get it done. Next one is Kentucky and Texas Tech. Is that a national championship game rematch, I think, from a few years ago?
Tech played Virginia then, didn't they?
Maybe, I don't remember. It was a Final Four, I think. Okay. They played at one point.
What do you got, Gills?
Did they not? I don't know.
I'll go Tech. I'll rep the Big 12.
I'm going Kentucky. So it's right. Your pick, Fitz.
I'll go Tech.
We're going Tech. Then we have Marquette versus the winner of Boise State in Colorado. We'll make it easy. Yeah. To the Midwest, we have Purdue versus TCU.
Could you say Purdue again?
Purdue?
Here we go. I'm going to go TCU. I think they'll run that giant monster into the dirt.
Hi.
Give me that creepy mascot.
Hi, dude.
You saw him in the background there?
I did.
There he is.
Sorry, what were we talking about next? Again, I forgot.
I took Purdue. Fitz is taking TCU. It is your pick, Gills.
I'll take Purdue.
Okay.
Oh, dang it. Why did it do that?
Oh, no.
We're out of here.
Okay, next one is Gonzaga and Kansas.
I'll take the Zags.
Yeah, me too. Again, Kansas, shorthanded. Give me Gonzaga.
Yeah, this tournament for KU is like K-State in the NIT. You're there as an also-ran, basically. Mm-hmm. Next one is Creighton and Oregon. The Dana Altman Bowl.
Wow, it is. I got Creighton.
Sure, me too.
Okay, we're going Creighton.
I like it when you say sure, like, okay.
We have the UT Bowl between Texas and Tennessee.
The orange team.
Which orange, which Pantone would you like? Which SEC team would you like?
Yeah, no doubt.
good one.
Oh, Tennessee. I don't trust Texas.
We're going Vols. On to the Sweet 16. UConn or Auburn?
UConn.
UConn.
Okay. Illinois or Iowa State?
Iowa State.
Okay.
I wasn't planning on picking Iowa State to win this much, but I like that matchup for Iowa State a lot.
Gills, opposition?
I mean, Iowa State's a team that absolutely can lose in its first game or can make a run deep like we're talking about here, but I'll stay with Iowa State. If they're hot, if they make it this far, I think they can keep winning.
North Carolina or St. Mary's?
North Carolina.
I'm going St. Mary's.
I'm too. Yeah. That's my team that's going to make a run here, St. Mary's.
Goodness gracious.
They're a 5 seed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that big deal.
It's not a big deal. Baylor or Arizona, future Big 12 game?
Silence filled the air. Tension.
I'm going to go Baylor.
I'm going to go Arizona. Gills, you're up.
I don't want to be the I don't want to be the one to decide it. Again, Big 12. Let's make Jerome Tang happy here. If he's listening, let's go Baylor.
Okay. Baylor. We move back to the South. Houston or Mr. Madison?
Houston.
El Houston Ola.
Okay. Marquette or Tech?
Marquette.
You got Marquette?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Purdue, Gonzaga. I'm going Purdue.
I'll go Gonzaga here.
Okay. I got to go Purdue on that match.
The way you guys feel about St. Mary's is the way I feel about Gonzaga. Gonzaga is capable of making a deep run. When's the last time St. Mary's has done anything in the NCAA tournament?
Well, guess what, Gills? You just got outvoted.
Wah, wah. That was a special sound effect.
Tennessee Creighton is the last Sweet 16 game.
Creighton for me.
I'm going Creighton Tennessee. Oh, okay. Okay.
Outvoted.
All right. Elite Eight, UConn or Iowa State?
God, that'd be a great game.
It would be. And I took UConn. Iowa State. I did take Iowa State in my other bracket, but I'm
going UConn.
I'm good with UConn here. St. Mary's or Baylor?
Ooh, is that really who we picked?
That's
out
really who we picked. We're going Baylor. I'm going Baylor. I don't know what you guys want, but.
Okay. We're going Baylor. Baylor just made the Final Four.
Yep. Baylor has made the Final Four.
I wouldn't have seen that coming.
Houston or Marquette?
Houston.
Houston.
Okay. Purdue or Creighton?
Creighton.
I'm going Creighton. You want to say anything, Fitz?
Well, I have Creighton on my bracket, but the bracket I picked was thinking KU would take out Purdue because I feel like KU has the guy that can compete. They have competed against each other in Big Ten. But Creighton into the Final Four. How about that?
So our Final Four is UConn, Baylor, Houston, and Creighton. There's worse Final Fours.
We're going to end up with UConn and Houston in the championship, aren't we?
Unless we don't.
Okay, let's vote.
UConn or Baylor? Who UConn. You got?
UConn. Yeah.
Houston or Creighton? Who you got?
Houston.
Okay. We have UConn and Houston.
I think Houston wins a national title. I've thought that even. And here's my weird thing is after getting beat by 28 points in the Big 12 championship by Iowa State, I think it made it more likely. They're not carrying a winning streak. They're pissed off. They saw some of their weaknesses exposed in front of them. I think it helps them. I think they're going to win this national title.
Houston's who I picked as well. And mostly because they've gone on 36 10-0 runs this year. They go on more than one 10-0 run per game that they play, basically.
K-State had a 10-0 run in the second half last night.
Good for them.
Really helped. That's it. We just crowned.
We do need a tiebreaker for total combined final score. So we do need something.
Houston's in it. So what do you think UConn scores? I mean,
100?
Exactly. It's going to be a low scoring game. Houston's in it. If Houston's going to win, I'll take.
But also, this is a tiebreaker just based on the national championship game score, regardless of what our teams are. Just saying. I typically go with 130 just to play it safe. 64, yeah.
66 game. That I'm fine with that. 130 is good with me.
Okay.
130. It's about what time we started this podcast. It's now like 6 o'clock.
Yeah. The picks have been saved and updated. We are in our own bracket pool as the Power Cat podcast.
There we go. That podcast went 1 hour and 10 minutes or something.
It's a long one.
We're done. I got nothing more to say. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being supportive. And thank you for accepting Ryan Gilbert, even though he's got some issues. Hey, Gills, anything to say for yourself?
No. I do not.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.